Jenny Benny, small decisions to make at the moment that are quite tricky. How are you making these decisions? What are your sources of wisdom? Are you wrestling it on your own? Or are you gathering with others? Are you surrounding yourself with counsel? Are you liking the counsel or disagreeing with it? We all need to make decisions. Relationships, family life, jobs, vocation, how we should use our time, how we should spend our money, God's money, how we should use the gifts that have been given to us to have a meaningful, purposeful life. It's absolutely crucial that we get wisdom. But there are so many places where we can get wisdom today, and it is so confusing. We are a church. Wisdom is gold. It is the most important thing. The direction of our church, the ministries that we want to invest in, maybe the ministries that we may say that was for a season. How do we make these choices? How do we get wisdom? God says, I will teach you and instruct you in the way you should go. Jesus says that we can know his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. Now that is making an assumption this morning which you may not yet agree with. The assumption is to know wisdom, true wisdom, you need to know the Lord. How wonderful it is that we can know God's thoughts. It was Einstein that said, I want to know God's thoughts, and everything else is detail. But this passage tells us, it asks the question, who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? Sometimes we do that, don't we? He's the potter and we're the clay, and we answer him back and we say, no, I think you've got that wrong, Lord. Do you want to try again? Don't like that answer. It says, who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's a phenomenal statement. That the mind that created the world and saved the world is the mind available to you and I today as a Christian believer. But perhaps you're not at that point yet. Perhaps you say, well, I don't know this Jesus like you do. But when you know him, and when you trust in him, he will show you great and unsearchable things you do not know. That if you call out to him, if you seek him and you search for him, you will find him because he is looking for you. And he will show you what he has freely given you and his great plans for your life. He will show you his great love for you in his Son, Jesus Christ. What an amazing privilege. What an amazing promise. And yet, if we're honest, we don't go to him, do we? We just try and work it out for ourselves. We get all stressed. We phone a friend. We do a Google search. God is far better than Google. There's no simple formula for receiving God's guidance. I'm making it sound really simple. Not every single issue that we face in our life is there's a verse on that one issue. But we do have God's general perspective. And wisdom is knowing God's perspective, God's outlook. Wisdom is seeking His will. Wisdom is trusting God's answer. And the very, very heart of this discernment is, and this is the really important bit, is to distinguish between the voice of God and the voice of the world. That is what this passage is all about. Because in Corinth, just like in all major cities, there was a mindset, there was a worldview which was powerful and strong. I'm not going to go through it all today, but the last line there is, in Corinth, there was this worldly wisdom. And it was respected. It was the place you went to, the great speakers, the philosophies. And there was God's wisdom. And the wisdom of the world was in the church. Because just like we are in the world every single day of the week, and we're influenced by media, we're influenced by peer group, the wisdom of the world is in CCC. We may not want to admit that, but it is. And the way we think is not always God's thoughts. So how do we distinguish between God's thoughts and the thoughts of the world? It's good news, because we can have the mind of Christ. So looking at this battle in the mind, because it happens first in the mind, and then it leads out into our lifestyle. And if you lose the battle in the mind, it's very hard once you start building these habits. It's very hard to change your mind. But the heart of coming back to God is having a change of mind. It's repentance and faith. So not only knowing the battle in the mind, but knowing God's thoughts. How can we know God's thoughts? It's an incredible thing, isn't it? How does that happen? How does that work? For your ministry, you're thinking about the future of this ministry. How do you know you're making the right decision? What has God got to say on that issue today? And how can we think like Jesus Christ? If we look at the passage, speaking about in verse 6, we do not speak the wisdom of this age. It says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He's making a distinction between the wisdom of this age and the wisdom of God. He's making a distinction between the spirit in the world, or the spirit of this age, and the spirit who is from God. And he's saying that the elites, the cultural elites, do not understand God's wisdom. The cultural elites do not accept the cross of Christ. Who were the cultural elites in Jesus' day? It was the Romans. It was Pontius Pilate. It was Felix. It was Herod. If you turn with me to John chapter 9:18, there's a conversation between Jesus and Pilate. And Pilate says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus says, "Is that your own idea, or did others tell you about me?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And Pilate says, "So you're a king then?" And Jesus says, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth, and everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Pilate answered. Pilate said, there is no basis for a charge against this man, Jesus, but he still sent him to the cross because he feared the crowd more than he feared doing the right thing. And sometimes as Christians, we do the wrong thing because we fear the crowd. We fear what other people will think or say. The mistake of Pilate is often our mistake. But Paul is saying that the rulers of this age do not understand the cross, and Pilate certainly didn't understand it, and do not understand the truth. What is truth? That we are living now in a culture which is known as a post-truth culture. It is so confusing. It comes from, at its heart, from a rejection of God, the secular mindset that says there is no God. God is just a myth. There's no creator, and there's no design. When there's no design, there's no intention. Where there's no intention, there's no morality. And where there's no morality, there's no accountability. And many, many people say they do not believe in a creator God, even though all the evidence all around us, it's obvious that there is a creator. Perhaps the hidden reason is that they do not want to submit to a higher power. They do not want to be accountable for how they live their lives. No accountability, no truth, no reality. Confusion, chaos. Isn't that the world we live in today? And how difficult it is to make decisions. How difficult it is even to think spiritually. We go into Waterstones, and you go into the mind, body, spirit section of Waterstones. I don't think you'll find a book on the cross of Christ in that section. The spirituality section in Waterstones has got less and less and less in terms of speaking about Christ. Yeah, there's the one or two books in there. You have to look quite long and hard. And there's a massive occult section. So when we think about spirituality, it is spirituality emptied of the cross of Christ and emptied of power, true power to change. True power to know the designer's intent. What does God want? What has God said? You go back to Genesis, and then we see in Genesis that discernment is not only a matter of telling the difference between right and wrong, it's telling the difference between right and almost right. Isn't that where the hardest decisions are? To know the difference between right and almost right. And if you listen to what the devil said to Eve, it sounds right, but just a little twist, a little twist. The devil, when he was tempting Jesus, he quoted scripture. Very subtle. And the problem that we're looking at today is the problem of deception. It's very easy to be deceived. And these deceptive ideas influence our desires and influence the way we live. So whose mental maps are you living by? Whose ideas do you trust? And the question we have to ask ourselves this morning, are we believing any lies? Are we believing any lies? Are there things that we believe which are influencing our decisions, which are not the truth, which are not God's thoughts? They're lies. How can we know God's thoughts? Well, Romans 12:2 is a great summary of the same main point this morning. Do not be conformed to the way of this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, his perfect will. To be transformed in the renewing of our mind. Now, the battle of the mind is something which Jesus Christ illustrates so well. And yet it was the Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. And the Spirit of God leads us into testing situations. And he expects us, and he prays for us, that we would make the right choice, that we would choose to trust God even when we don't feel like it. We would choose to trust God even when we do not understand it. And that's what Jesus did. All the problems in Corinth were the same issues that came to Jesus. The same issues that came to Jesus were the same issues that come to us today. Issues about, do you want to take a shortcut to knowing God's will and plan? The shortcut was abandon the cross. Abandon the cross. Just bow down and worship me. That's what Satan said. And I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Why don't you go and do something really spectacular so that people will follow you? Why don't you do something really impressive, like throw yourself off the temple? And in fact, Psalm 91 says that God will catch you. Why don't you just turn, never mind the fasting, never mind the self-denial, never mind the extended time of prayer, just forget that. Just go and turn these stones into bread. Have you ever felt that, you know, when you set some time aside to pray and you get these thoughts? Oh, what about your emails? Oh, what about this? What about that? Aren't you feeling hungry? Go and make yourself a sandwich. Where does all that come from? Well, Jesus, in a much more profound way, had the same temptations. And he needed to spend that time of solitude, that time of meditation, so he could know his Father's will. All through his ministry, Jesus was persecuted. All through his ministry, Jesus was insulted, was misunderstood, and he often said, I have only come to do the will of my Father. I only live to please the Father. And how could he say that? Because he spent time in solitude. He spent time meditating on the Word so he could know the Father's will. Do you know that all of us are struggling with technology, aren't we? Let's put our hands up. We're struggling with technology, aren't we? It is killing our prayer life. It's killing our prayer life. Why do I not do Facebook? Because I ask myself the question, how much time have I spent in prayer today before I check my Facebook? So I haven't been on Facebook for months. Sorry, guys. I don't know what's going on. It says the average American watches TV or videos 5 or 6 hours a day. The average millennial is on their phone up to 4 hours a day. And Barna Research recently said that 2,800 hours a year consuming digital content, 153 hours of that will be Christ-based content. So the comparison is hours of, I'll be kind and say, hours of miscellaneous interesting stuff, and minutes of true wisdom straight from God. Hours of miscellaneous stuff or minutes of God's wisdom. Or I could be a bit stronger and say, hours of meditating on the lies of this world and minutes of meditating on God's truth. In verse 12, it says here that what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. The good news is that the Holy Spirit is available. He has inspired this book to guide us how to live. He has given us God's thoughts in this book. The Word of God and the Spirit of God are never in opposition. I'll say that again. The Word of God and the Spirit of God are always in agreement. If someone says to you, I know that's what the Bible says, but actually, I feel guided by God to do something different, then they are not listening to the voice of God. Their voice, listening to their own spirit, which is not submitting to God's Holy Spirit, who always points to the Word. And coming to church is really, really important. Just like you have minutes, you have 1 hour a week gathering together here, maybe another hour and a half at home group, 2.5 hours a week. Compare that to, that's not even 1 day of digital content. So you're going to lose the battle of the mind. You need people to be accountable to. You need people to process through these decisions with. If you're on your own, turning up once a week or once a month to church, you're already losing even before you start the race. It's so important. Imagine if we could be conformed to God's will for the church, a community of deep relational ties in a culture of isolation and individualism, a community of holiness in a culture of hedonism, do whatever you like, a community of order and peace in a stressed out culture of chaos. We need each other, and we discern the will of God together. And if you have a big decision to make, then you need the Word of God, the Spirit of God, you need the community to help you make that decision. Pray for us as elders. We have to make decisions all the time, that we would be listening to the voice of God, that we would take time to pray. So, think about it this week. Think about that quiet time. Think about it before you switch your phone on. But we know the mind of Christ. And this is where I go back to my original point, and you could be here as a seeker this morning, watching online, that you are attracted to what I'm talking about. You want to tap into this true wisdom source, but you don't yet know Jesus. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, that you may be reconciled to God. But in order to know him, you have to abandon the way of this world. You have to change your mind. You have to be willing for your mind to be changed from the way of this world to the way of God. It's called repentance. And to put your trust in what Jesus has done on the cross, receiving full forgiveness and eternal life. And remember, he didn't just remain on a cross. He rose from the dead on the third day. Don't be sad that Jesus died on a cross. Don't be sad. Don't be sad for Jesus. He's not a victim. He's a volunteer. He chose to do it. Don't think that somehow something terrible has gone wrong because Jesus died on the cross. God sent his only Son to die on the cross that we may not perish or be cut off, but have eternal life. And he wants us to be conformed to his Son. What is the will? You know, one of the things that we wrestle with, what is God's will for my life? One thing is for certain, God wants us to be like his Son, Jesus. God wants us to be like Christ. Think about that. It's an incredibly challenging thought. That will keep you awake all week if you take that seriously. To be like Christ? I want to be like Jesus. Do you want to be like Jesus? Do you want to die on a cross? Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to take up your cross and follow me. Not literally, but self-denial. Everything here in Corinth is about self-fulfillment. How can my needs be met? How can I get what I want? Me, 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 me. When we follow Jesus, it's about not self-fulfillment, but self-denial. It's about choosing to put others before yourself. In Philippians 2, verse 5, he says that we should have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, to humble ourselves, to be obedient. So how do we distinguish between the voice of God and the voice of this world? God will not leave us in the dark. God will show us through his word, and we have a choice of obedience or disobedience. To obey, however inconvenient that may be, however much we are out of step with our friends. I remember the year I became a Christian. Two things happened. One is I went running into the office at lunchtime with a Bible to my friend Mark and said, read this. It's amazing. In the middle of our NCR computer office in Roseburn, Edinburgh, and he had a sandwich there and he read it and he gave it back to me. He said, I don't have a clue what that means. And it says here, the wisdom of God is not understood. It needs the Spirit to open people's eyes. The other thing that happened, I had another friend who I used to go drinking with, and sometimes we drank a bit too much. And I said, I don't want to go drinking anymore. I think we're drinking too much. I'll come out for one, but I'm not going out all Friday, all Saturday. He said, I don't want to be your friend anymore. I don't want to be your friend anymore, Alistair. Fine. Because I had a friend in Jesus that was more important than that friendship. And I haven't looked back. I don't want to be your friend anymore if you follow Jesus. I don't want to be your friend anymore if you go the way of the cross. Self-denial, not self-fulfillment. We can know God's mind. And I want us now to pray using a hymn, an old hymn, "May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day." Let's pray. Just in the silence, just allow God to speak to us. Is there a decision that we have to make? Or is there a decision that we've made that we need to reverse? So that we can be one with God. Let's just wait on the Lord. Ask for his wisdom. So I was praying for our church this week. The Lord was reminded me of a verse in Luke 4, which I'm going to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor, to set free the captives, to give recovery of sight to the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I pray, Father, that you would open the eyes of the blind, that you would set free the captives, that you would give good news to the poor through our church, that you would show us how we can continue to do that, not our way, but your way. May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day, by his power and love controlling all I do and say. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through his power. May the peace of God my Father rule my life in everything, that I may be calm to comfort, sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea, him exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I onward go. May his beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win, and may they forget the channel, seeing only him. Amen. I'm going to sing our